Food Friday, and this week we are taking you to the Mediterranean. Our next guest has been eating and cooking Mediterranean food her whole life, and she shares it with us today, some of her favorite dishes that she wants you to try. And you can join our conversation with your questions. If you've got a favorite Mediterranean dish, share with us this afternoon. Have you tried following the Mediterranean diet? What questions do you have about Mediterranean cooking, spices, and what you might want to have on hand? Call us 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can always email us ideas at WPR.org. Susie Carace is the founder of TheMediterraneanDish.com, a Mediterranean food and lifestyle site, and she's with us today to talk about her new cookbook, New York Times bestseller, The Mediterranean Dish, 120 bold and healthy recipes you'll make on repeat. And Susie, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, I really enjoyed your story, and I'd love for you to share a little bit with us this afternoon. You grew up in Egypt, and can you talk about some of your experiences with food growing up there?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up right on the shores of the Mediterranean in Egypt in a cosmopolitan Mediterranean city called Port Said, which is the north entrance to the Suez Canal. And there I was lucky enough to be exposed to all sorts of flavors from all over the Mediterranean. A port city, the way you live in a port city is really just kind of all about the foods that nature has given us. We ate a lot of seafood, and I remember going with my father to the market multiple times a week, just checking out the fresh produce and all the sunny flavors. And naturally, countries of the Mediterranean, or at least for sure port cities, they share a lot of excitement around food. And so we ate a lot of Greek-influenced flavors, Italian, Turkish, North African. So yeah, I had it all, and it wasn't really with a ton of thought around where this came from, but it was just like a ton of enjoyable food. And so I grew up with all that. My mom was a great cook. My dad made sure I understood how to select the best produce and all of that good stuff. So yes, I'm so fortunate.
Yeah, that's part of the story. And then there's the part where you come to Canada and you end up in Michigan and you learn that sharing this food with everybody else becomes a connector, which is universal.
Yes, absolutely. And to be honest, and I feel like most people would probably resonate with this, the idea of sitting around the table and sharing a meal together, there's really nothing like it. And if you wanted to get to know somebody, you sat at the table. And that's how I grew up. My parents were very big into hospitality, as with many parts of the Mediterranean and the Middle East. And we've had a lot of friends and strangers at our table. And so naturally for me, I would just invite people to try my food, and I made a lot of friends doing that.
Susie Carace is the founder of TheMediterraneanDish.com, and she has a New York Times bestseller, the new cookbook, The Mediterranean Dish, 120 bold and healthy recipes you'll make on repeat. And you can join the conversation at any time at 1-800-642-1234. And Susie, okay, what are a few pantry essentials that we'd want to have on hand if we were to start doing some Mediterranean cooking? What do we have to have?
You know, that's such a great question, because a lot of people may not think that they have a lot of the ingredients to make Mediterranean food already in their pantries. So, for example, for me, the all essential extra virgin olive oil is a big deal in eating the Mediterranean way, but also some of the very simple, very humble ingredients in your pantry, such as canned beans or grains, or even, you know, dried beans as well is another one. And obviously lots of veggies and fruits in your fridge. And I guess I'm lumping in the fridge section as well.
Sure.
And the flavor makers for me have got to be a lot of garlic,
yep,
a lot of citrus, and a lot of fresh produce, and especially herbs. So I think if people were to just kind of like sift through some of the things they have in their pantry and in their fridge, you'd be surprised how easily it is to cook a Mediterranean meal with what you have on hand.
All right, Susie, and our recipes that our guest is sharing with us today can be found anytime at WPR.org/Food Friday. So keep that in mind, because I've told people we're going to tell them about the smoothest, fluffiest hummus today, Susie. And you have that as one of your recipes in your new cookbook. So what is that? I mean, I think most people get the gist. There's some extra virgin olive oil. You've got some chickpeas. You've got some tahini. You've got some citrus in there. But what is it that makes it? And you can find the full recipe on the website or in Susie's cookbook. What is it that makes it the smoothest and fluffiest? What do you do different?
Yes, I'm going to share this credit because I learned it from my mother-in-law, Mama Dina, who is really a master of the Middle Eastern kitchen. She grew up in Jordan and actually ran a couple of restaurants in Michigan for a while. And I learned from her a couple of major tips when you're making homemade hummus. First of all, making sure that you peel the chickpeas. It does actually make a difference. I get lazy sometimes and I don't always do it. But when I do it and I take a minute to just take care of that, of those peeling the chickpeas, it does make a difference in the final texture and it's extra smooth. But as you are making the hummus in the food processor, one thing that I've learned from her or watching her do it, she drops a couple of ice cubes from the top of the food processor as the hummus is processing. And this really just gives it that fluffy, whipped, really light texture as if you were making ice cream. And it is the funnest thing to try. So definitely those two tips. And even if you end up using canned chickpeas, which I do, I mean, because dry chickpeas will require you to soak them overnight and then you're going to cook them and whatever. But if you end up using canned chickpeas, which are a fine option here, I also do end up cooking them for a little bit, 15, 20 minutes or so. That will actually allow them to be extra tender, which is also another trick for, I guess, kind of faking it into making hummus from scratch, but without really using dried beans and taking the time to soak them. So those are the three tips, and that's how I make it today.
Homemade pita or store-bought pita?
Well, unless you have an amazing Middle Eastern bakery by you, you're probably not going to have the freshest pita. The pita I grew up with at home in Egypt, we actually bought every single day. And my father was adamant about this. He would just only buy 5 pitas per day. And it was like one of these things where it's like, no, we have to have it fresh. So every morning someone had the chore of getting the fresh pita, and it was puffy and pillowy and absolutely delicious. And it's also part of the culture of like not wasting. That was a big deal too growing up. But here in the States, it's kind of hard to find really good fluffy fresh pita unless you do live near a Middle Eastern bakery. So you can easily make it at home, and it's not hard. It's a very basic recipe. It's in the book, and I do make it often, and sometimes I'll make a larger batch and freeze it, and it freezes very well.
The recipe that I made last night from your cookbook, Susie Karacha, is the harissa red lentil and tomato soup. It was easy, it was affordable, and it was delicious. And as you, our technical director, Sarah Hopeful, is dining on it right now with a little bit of crusty bread on the side. It's just perfect. But what is it about these spices that all go together to create that full flavor?
Yeah, so... Well, so obviously lentils, they're kind of almost neutral flavored, right? So you want to, but they're so filling and satisfying and they will give you some good nutrition. So in this particular recipe, I rely on harissa paste, a North African condiment, so to speak, that kind of just gives it that extra zing, a little bit more spice, and it just finishes it so well that everything comes together. It's so coherent. Another thing that I love to add to a lot of my soups, and in this one as well, I think like a little bit of citrus will round out the flavor too.
that lime, and then you add the cilantro on top, and it gives it a fresh pop right above the kick of the spice of the harissa. That is something that we will be enjoying throughout this entire chili weekend. It's a nice hearty meal.
Yes, absolutely. And also, like you said, super affordable. And a lot of people are looking at the cost, a rising cost of food these days. And again, another plug for lentils and legumes in general. They are pretty affordable and very satisfying. And the way that we eat, Mediterranean way of eating, is very humble food for the most part, and not super expensive.
It's Food Friday, and we're breaking bread with Susie Carace with her new cookbook, The Mediterranean Dish, 120 bold and healthy recipes you'll make on repeat. And you can find those recipes that we're sharing with you this afternoon online anytime at WPR.org/Food Friday. And if you have a question for our guest chef today, 1-800-642-1234. If you have a Mediterranean dish that you'd like to share, 1-800-642-1234. We have more for you when we continue here on Central Time. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Rob Ferret, and we're picking up our talk with Susie Carace about her new cookbook, The Mediterranean Dish, 120 bold and healthy recipes you will make on repeat. And if you've got a question or if you've got a dish you'd like to share, Food Friday, it's time to do it. 1-800-642-1234. And Susie, let's move on to your next dish. This one I am dying to try, and you have to explain it a little bit for us. Cheater's Hawashi Pitas. What are these?
Okay, well, hawashi is a very Egyptian meal. It's also one of those street foods that I grew up with. And if you were to make it the proper way, not the cheater's way, you would make a dough from scratch, and you would fill it with this beautiful meat mixture, ground beef mixture that is filled with spices, a little bit of hot pepper, and all that jazz. You make it into a patty, and you kind of encase it with this dough, and it's usually cooked in like a domed clay oven super quick, and it comes out hot, and you are typically standing in a long line of people waiting for this little pie of hawashi. But at home, when I make it, I kind of stick true to the flavors, the big flavors in it, the bold spices and a little bit of the hot peppers. I actually just use jalapenos here in the state. And I replace the whole making of the dough with just already made pita bread. So I'll cut the pita in half, and I will stick this beautiful meat mixture uncooked into the pita, and you stick it in the oven. And it's a great way to honestly feed a crowd of people on a budget, because you'll stretch about a pound and a half of ground beef to make a good number of hawashi sandwiches. And it takes about 15 minutes or so in the oven. And it is just as exciting for me. And hey, nobody's ever mad about a shortcut. So that's my cheat. Hawashi.
And how about these seasonings? As the recipe details, and again, you can find it at your leisure at WPR.org/Food Friday. Allspice, black pepper, coriander, sweet paprika, ground cardamom, some cumin in there, and some cinnamon too.
Yes. All the things, basically.
Oh, yeah, it's a little bit of everything. But what
does... A lot of warm flavors, kind of leans quite North African, if you really look at it. And, and the recipes do vary from one place to another, but this is kind of the recipe that I learned at home, and I have always made it this way, and everyone loves it, but it is pretty bold. When people ask me what is hawashi, I have found myself resorting to this lazy answer of like, well, you know, it's Egypt's way to a hamburger. It's really not, because a hamburger is really well known in Egypt too, as we know it here, just the simple patty on a bun. But this one is a little bit on steroids, I would say, with all the flavors.
Susie Carace is the author of the cookbook, The Mediterranean Dish, 120 bold and healthy recipes you'll make on repeat. And you write about the idea of nafas in Mediterranean cooking. Susie, yes. Can you share that with us?
Yes. The word nafas in Arabic means breath. It also means soul. And if you were to talk about food and creating food and feeding the people around you, and let's say you're in a conversation with one of the tetas, the grandmas in Egypt, and you're wanting a recipe from her, you will never get a precise recipe from anyone, really, but particularly the older generation. And they'll be like, you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then a whole lot of nefes, meaning just the whole spirit behind creating the food is what really makes it special and delicious. So the idea would be you're breathing into it a lot of love, and you're using a lot of your own God-given intuition. And don't worry so much about the measurement. As long as you're cooking from within, so to speak, with all your soul, and you're excited about generously sharing, the food that you're creating is laced with deliciousness. So I grew up with that idea, and it gives me such joy. And really kind of when I talk about cooking the Mediterranean way or the Egyptian way even, it gives me a lot of like peace in knowing that, hey, you know, if I mess up, at least I tried. I tried my best, and I was having fun doing it, and I'm feeding the people I love. And so it's not a whole lot of following the rules. I grew up more of like, you know, just kind of, you're going to learn how to put these flavors together the more you do it, and just kind of go at it with all your heart and give it all your attention, and it will turn out okay.
So when Susie Karache says a tablespoon of this, a teaspoon of that, a quarter tablespoon of the other thing,
So the thing is, I started religiously measuring now that I cook for a living and other people are following my recipes. So not to worry, every recipe in the book and on the site has been tested to perfection and has been measured a million times because there are people counting on it.
Absolutely. And so let's move on to the last recipe that we're sharing with our audience from your book today, and that is the charred honeyed apricots with pistachios. This sounds delectable. Is this a dessert?
You know what? I can't honestly even call it a dessert nor a recipe. I cheated my way into it and put it in the book anyway. But it's one of those things that it's like, you know, you've got some good ripe apricots or any stone fruit of your choice. Peaches will work well with this recipe. And if your sweet tooth is calling for something and you don't have the time to bake, like me, I'm not a huge baker, this is a great recipe to do that. And just a very simple and exciting, yes, let's call it dessert for the sake of being clear here, it is a sweeter option. So I just simply kind of toss it with a little bit of citrus and a little bit of sugar, I think brown sugar, and then you stick it under the broiler for maybe 5 to 7 minutes, and it kind of bubbles up and gets charred beautifully, and you finish it up with some honey and maybe a little bit of pistachio to just kind of looks a little more fancy than it really is. And it's such a simple, delicious dessert.
Yeah, it's just a handful of ingredients, and it's just a few minutes to throw it all together. And when you're done, I have yet to try this, but it is certainly part of my list now. And again, you can find the full recipe in full detail online at wpr.org/foodfriday. And if you talk about Mediterranean baking, Susie, how would you compare it or make it different from American baking?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a great question. So for me, when I think about the way people bake in that part of the world where I grew up, the baked goods are not too sweet. For the most part, they're just right. So, and also, we don't always have a ton of frosting on anything. Like a cake as simple as an olive oil cake without a whole lot on it, but a sprinkle of maybe shaved citrus like oranges and a little bit of powdered sugar is just as exciting to people as something that is layered with, you know, all the frosting. So I feel like we have a variety of things that take just a handful of ingredients and they turn out amazing. I will say my favorite dessert will always and forever be baklava. And that's the one that I will probably be making during the holiday season, and it's in the book as well. We call it a triple nutty baklava.
Okay. How hard is that? Because from my experience, I cannot make baklava. I'll just say that.
Okay. Well, it's actually a lot easier than most people think, because if you envision, have you ever made a lasagna?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you envision sort of a layering situation, like a casserole, and you're layering, you know, I don't know, the pasta, the meat, the whatever, to make a lasagna, think of it in the same terms. You're layering some phyllo cheese, a little bit of nuts with some sugar and cinnamon, and then some more phyllo, and you're kind of just, it's very therapeutic, actually. You're just assembling something in a baking dish. And the biggest thing for me with baklava, and I really have become a sort of a baklava snob, unnecessarily, I suppose, unintentionally, just because of I've eaten it at home more than I have outside. The biggest thing for me is to make sure that as soon as you take the baklava out of the oven, you hit it up with the honey syrup, which allows the cooler honey syrup to be absorbed really well in the layers of flaky hot phyllo dough. Phyllo pastry is very thin to work with, and so a lot of people fear working with it. But if it breaks, nobody cares. So I really highly encourage you to try the recipe in the book. It's very easy.
I will have to give it a try, and I will have to let you know. Susie Karace, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome. Glad to be here. Thank you.
You bet. And again, all those recipes that we talked about this afternoon are from Susie Karace's new cookbook, New York Times bestseller, The Mediterranean Dish, 120 bold and healthy recipes you'll make on repeat. And you can find all these recipes we talked about and a link to the cookbook at WPR.org/Food Friday.